American folk magic practices, as you do conjure or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat, welcome back. It's great to have you back, ma'am.
Oh, thank you so much, Tammy Lee. And I want to send a special thank you to you and to Ali and to our wonderful good friends, Dr. E and Deacon Millett. You guys just were so great while we were gone. And we had a wonderful trip down south. I don't usually travel much, but we were on the train both Sundays when the show was on, and we were in the wild hills up around Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo, where you can't call in. But we would hear you, then we'd go through a tunnel, we wouldn't hear you, we'd hear you again. And it was just wonderful. You know, we probably caught about half of each show. And you guys just did great, and the callers were good, and it was just so thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You really did good. If I fall over, get hit by a truck, I know that the show can go on.
Oh, no. Well, you were both definitely missed, and I have a deep appreciation now for what Nagashiva. I've always appreciated what he does, but wow, behind the scenes, there's quite a bit of work going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nagashiva is like quiet and cool, but there's all this little tweaking and stuff. But you did great, Ali. You were wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you had to run the board and do the show, which is, that's double the work.
And readings.
Yeah. And readings, yeah. Y'all did great.
I'm just happy that you guys are back.
We missed the chat. Of course, we couldn't do that, but it was wonderful. And I also want to say, I want to give a special thank you to Madam Pamita, who hosted that bone reading class that I did, and that went really nice. And again, thanks to Dr. E and Ali for helping out. At the last minute, I forgot to pack my bones, and both Ali and Dr. E brought their own bone sets, and I was reading out of both of their bone sets, and they're different. It was fun. And Michelle Jackson was there, who's going to presenting at the workshops along with the rest of us. And, of course, Madam Pamita was a gracious host. We reconnected with a couple of old friends we haven't seen in a while, Thomas, a guy who I just haven't seen in years, and it was just neat to hanging out with him. And Cast Excelsior, who often is in the chat room here. Cast arranged for us to take a tour of his fabulous occult-oriented Freemasonic lodge in Culver City, and it was wonderful. And
it was so fun.
Yeah, and Merrick, who's a good friend of my friend Polk Runyon, was the guy who gave us the docent tour, and that was so nice to see him. So it was just a really lovely time, and we just saw so many people, Krishanda, just everybody. I mean, I don't even want to start with the names because I know I'm going to forget some names. But
it was great that you recognized him. You know, so you're like, I know you.
Yeah.
Everyone else did not. Like, I had, you know, seen him before too, but I did not recognize him at all until you said something.
Yeah.
Well, Merrick is an actor as well, and this also happened when I was introduced to Cast, because Cast has been a model. You mm-hmm. shake someone's hand, you go, I know this person, but you actually don't.
Right.
You've seen a photograph of him, or you've seen him in a movie. And when I was introduced to Merrick, I went, you know, I know this guy really well, but he didn't recognize me, and I thought, I'm not going to put my foot in it. And it took me almost a half hour, and I thought, I know what movie I'd seen him in. And I said to him, you were in that movie about Lemuria. And he goes, yes, I was. And then he went into the character. He did the character, and I'm like, aha, that was him. Yeah, Beyond Lemuria. It was a great little movie. So a little indie movie about occultism.
Hey, give me that title again, please.
Beyond Lemuria.
Okay, thank you.
If you all have ever heard of the Shaver Mystery and the Deros and the it's a fabulous, fun movie about that. So anyway, it was just that we had a wonderful time. We went to Disneyland and everybody was great. So enough of that, but it was just so nice to see everybody and meet new people too. And hook up with, Maeve was there too. She doesn't usually come on the radio show, but I give her a shout out. Maeve, I like her a lot. Little black cat girl, I call her. She has a black cat as her logo, little kitten, and she publicizes Black Cat Appreciation Day every year. So we had a great time. If I left anybody's name out, I apologize. Can't remember it. So, onward and upward, here we are, and I want to thank you, Miss Michael, for being our guest. You're always wonderful to have you here. Yeah,
thank you. And you're
just a treasure and a charm. For those who don't know Miss Michael, she is a wonderful, compassionate reader. She is does bibliomancy and is great with bibliomancy, does a lot of work in a Christian context. I admire that in you, because so many people are running after multiple deities, and you kind of just stick with the tradition, and I really appreciate that. I really, really do. And Ms. Michael is also the chairwoman of the AIR Pro Bono Fund. That is her idea, and she has been in charge of it since the beginning. And this is the fund that anyone can contribute money to, or spiritual supplies if they're good ones, and that they are distributed free to people with lesser means or no means who want to do root work or something to help themselves, but don't have the means to buy a candle or oils because they might be out of a job or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the AIR Pro Bono Fund is completely under Miss Michael's direction and has helped so many people and has just been a wonderful gift and a joy. So, Miss Michael, welcome to the show.
It's good to be back.
Welcome. Always a blast to have you.
Yeah.
It's always a blast to be here.
Okay. So what we're going to talk about today, we have a panel discussion as we do every week. So, and as always, our guest gets to suggest what the panel discussion is going to be about. So let's let Ms. Michael take it away and talk about what's up. What are we going to talk about?
I want to talk about dreaming true and spiritual dreams. I ran across a wonderful book by Robert Moss called Dreaming True some years ago, and it was partly a how-to book, and there was a lot of good stuff in it that I had heard from elsewhere and some that was new, and that did help me a lot. I'm particularly interested right now in dream vocabularies. You go into a place like Lucky Mojo and you see all these little old-timey dream books, and there are these lists of symbols and what they mean. And one thing I've never been able to figure out is where those symbols come from. How are those meanings arrived at?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this topic is really one that is dear to my heart. I've done my bit to keep those old dream books in print. And what many of you don't know is that Nanda Shiva and I, although we do not publish those books, have worked for two different publishers of those dream books, where we have done scanning and retyping of books that were out of print, that the publishers had once printed, but meanwhile they'd lost their negatives or whatever, and that, you know, everyone was converting to digital. And so we worked on those, and I have actually done, many of those dream books have a yearly astrology column, which is, you know, based on the upcoming major aspects for the year, with lucky numbers for the different signs. And I've written those for those dream books for a number of years. So we have more than a casual interest in dream books. And I have studied them for a long time. The most popular ones, of course, are some of the older ones, the Kansas City Kitty dream book, the Aunt Sally's dream book. Probably Aunt Sally's outsells the others. So your question, where do these symbols come from? Well, they come from a variety of places. Aunt Sally's is a compilation, a 19th century compilation of several different little dream books. And it dates from the great time period of playing the gambling game of policy, which was an illegal lottery. And some of those dream meanings and the numbers that go with them are of European derivation. In other words, just like you would have European tea leaf symbols that everybody understands in Europe what those things mean, and acorn means be thrifty and so forth. In the same way, there are European dream meanings. And those meanings are in those some of those books. But there are also some American dream books. And those come from different sources. Kansas City Kitty, for instance, was drawn and written by a man who, unfortunately, his name is lost to us. We might be able to find it out someday, but I have not. He sold it to another man, and then that man sold the rights for it to another man named Theodore Becker, and then Theodore Becker's son-in-law now reprints it. So, you know, it's kind of passed through the generations. But that book was originally written and even illustrated by an African-American dream interpreter. And like I said, I don't know his name. But the Kansas City Kitty contains dream meanings that come out of African-American culture, which are slightly different because they contain some African antecedents that are not in they're different from European. And I'm going to give you just one example, because this is kind of, no symbol is universal. Carl Gustav Jung was wrong, right? So there is no collective unconscious, my opinion, sorry. So if you dream of a fish, now white American, European would say, you dream of a fish, well, what does that mean? Maybe it means you should go fishing, good luck fishing, right? Fishing means, you know, kind of searching for something, like he's fishing for leads, they would say. In China, the word for fish, particularly the word for carp, sounds like it's a homonym of the word for extra money. So if you dream of a fish, it would be money. But you ask every African American, dream of a fish, what does it mean? You're pregnant. Because they think of it. So each culture has their own idea. Is a fish abundance? Is a fish money? Is a fish literally fishing? Is a fish a pregnancy? So you're going to find different dream books will not agree, because it depends on whether the authors came from one culture or another. And, for instance, just to give another example, the owl. Many Native American tribes, not all, the owl was a silent predator and a symbol of silent death, right? In Athens, Greece, the owl was the symbol of a goddess of wisdom, right? Athena. Mm-hmm. And so, but then in Mexico, the owl is the symbol of Santísima Muerte, again, death. So is the owl wisdom or is the owl death? Whoever writes the dream books writes what they know, what their family told them. So there is no one system. Now, how you get the numbers, some of them will work them out with numerology, and especially some of the Jewish authors of dream books who study the Kabbalah will simply do a Kabbalistic notation, and y'all know, A is 1, B is 2, or they might, and here's some of the thing, those dream books might have come translated with numbers that were from a different language. For instance, if the dream book was originally written in German or in French, someone may have worked those out in German and got a number. When the book was translated, the number stayed the same, but the English word no longer has that number. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, but some of them will redo them, or they will add more numbers. Well, I don't know why this adds up to 3. When I did it, it added up to 4, right? So they'll put 3, 4. And then some of them, I'll tell you the truth, they're just like there are, you know, disreputable readers, there are disreputable dream book makers. I'm just going to put random stuff in, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are also people who do systems based on number families. And probably the most fascinating of this is Raja Rabo, who is a guy named Carl V. Talbot. He was an African-American bookie. He took money for, you know, he was a bookie. He held the stakes for betting, for gambling on policy and also on horse races, a legal bookie. And I guess there are no legal bookies, are there? Well, anyway, he was a bookie. But he made a couple of really good dream books, one of which, called The Pick'em, is unique because for every symbol, he took a key number for it, like let's just say Subway is one of my favorites, Subway, and he gives you a number. And then he comes up with variations on that number. So let's say Subway is, I'm just going to make this up, 300. And then he would have danger on a Subway, 301.
Oh, yeah.
Vomiting on a Subway. He literally had vomiting on the Subway, 302. Man on the Subway, 303. So he'd end up with a series of 10 numbers for each dream image based on the variation.
Is that the dream book where the word faggot is misspelled so it can give a better number attribution?
Yes, that is the one. Well, or maybe he just did not spell the word faggot. Yes, Carl Talbot lived what I would call a demimonde type life because the dreams that are in his book are some of the stranger ones, like father, and like you have father drunk. Like, you know, I'm sorry, that wasn't the first thing that occurred to me in dreaming of my father would be that my father would be drunk, right?
Uh-huh.
He also had some interesting ideas because he was in New York, and there are black Jewish religious groups there that are African-American, what you might call neo-Jewish. These were in the same way that black Muslims are neo-Muslims, the black Hebrew groups were neo-Jews. And he so under synagogue, he has synagogue white, synagogue colored. I thought that was fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, his dream book is unique and just absolutely a delight to work with. And so that's a long answer to a short question. Where those numbers come from, they will vary greatly. And most people pick a favorite or two, or they'll try to combine them. You know, now I'm going to recommend another book for people who are really interested in African American dream magic. There's a book called Dream Singers: An African American Way with Dreams by Anthony Shafton. We sell the book in our Lucky Mojo Curio Company bookstore, and it's a very, very good book. It's not cheap because it's a hardcover only. There never was a paperback edition. It's out of print. I buy copies that are in good condition used and resell them at no profit just to keep the book available to people. And it is an excellent book.
It is.
And one of the things he talks about is the importance of policy playing in the dream culture. Anthony Shafton also has an article online, which you can find it. And it is what started him before he wrote this book, and it is about African-American dream symbolism and the importance of dreams in African-American folk magic. And I wish that essay had been included in the book, but I think there were copyright reasons it was not. But that essay, if you get a copy of his book, print out that essay from online and, you know, stick it with the book because you'll find they go together. Amazing information and warmly cordially written. It's not an academic book in any way. It's very warm.
Another book, accessible.
Yeah, it's very, very nice. And there's one other book I recommend. It's called Policy Kings. Now, Policy Kings is about the illegal betting game of policy, and which influenced the making of these dream books. And so Policy Kings is just sort of a fond reminiscence of the days of policy before there were legal state lotteries. And it gives you a window into a past time, And even if you're black, this is a time that is you still need a window in because it's old. We're talking grandma and great-grandma, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wonderful book, Policy Kings. So that is what I have to say about it. Now, I'm curious, because we're talking about some of these things. Ali, what do you know about dreams from the culture from which you were born and the culture in which you work?
Oh, yeah, dreams play a huge, you know, I work in a Middle Eastern, North African fashion in addition to hoodoo. And so both of those traditions have a huge, huge culture about dreaming. Dreams are considered in the North African tradition to come in multiple forms. There is what's known as a nafsi dream, which is a dream that comes from your shadow or your darker self. These generally are dreams about temptation, dreams about something that you're struggling with. Then they're called shaitani dreams, dreams that come from supposedly, you know, the devil. And these are supposed to be false dreams, and you're supposed to ignore them or not repeat them out loud. And then there's dreams from God or dreams that prophesy something. So dreams are basically given a categorization there. They're seen as either one of these three different types, and it's considered to be one of the strongest forms of prophecy still in North Africa. So growing up, dream divination was one of the first divination methods in addition to geomancy and scrying that I learned far before I learned the tarot. And then when I started working in the hoodoo tradition, which was very early on, around when I was 10, and I saw that the dream tradition was huge there too, with dream walking, what's known by some as, you know, walking out in spirit form, and dream interpretation and dream books, it was like a perfect fit. It was very easy for me to transition. The dream books that I'm most familiar with are Aunt Sally's. In the Arabic tradition, there is a dream book. It's considered to be the encyclopedia of dream books. It's called Ibn Sirin's Dream Interpretation. And I used that quite commonly when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because there's also a culture of, and this sometimes comes from the Levantine region, Jews, early Hebrews, Syria, all that region, where when you dream of something, it often is said that you dream in opposites. So if you dream
mm-hmm.
of it, it's actually talking about a birth. If you dream of a birth, it's actually talking about a death. And that's a very fascinating tradition. For me, I think what's worked the best is looking at the different dream books, but then developing your own vocabulary by writing your dreams down when you wake up and then having a little bit of commentary at the end of the day to see what matches up. Oh, I dreamt of a fish, and today, I got lucky and I won the lotto. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So fish for me means money, not pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I've always worked with dreams, and they play a huge part in my work right now. Whenever I do work, I always watch my dreams for the next few days, and I consider anything I dream of to be a very strong sign of the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, the idea of dream symbols by opposites is interesting because
yeah.
that is quite common in European and in Jewish
yes.
Dream
yes.
symbolism too. It is by opposites. Dream of a death, you'll see a birth. Dream of a funeral,
mm-hmm.
someone will get married, that kind of thing. The essay, and I want this to go because the chat room is ephemeral, and I want this to be logged on the radio show. The essay by Anthony Shafton is called African Americans and Predictive Dreams, and it is at a place called asdreams.org. In other words, asdreams.org, and this is an online magazine about dreams. And there's a couple of things I want to get into this, too. Anthony Shafton is black, and he has really made a study of this, and he kind of came upon it accidentally in talking with his white colleagues about dreams and with his black colleagues about dreams and realizing that there were different paradigms about dreams. And he has therefore developed this, and this is where this book came out of Dream Singers. And he's a wonderful writer and really so perceptive and opened my mind to a lot of things. But there's some other things that have come out in recent medical studies, which are very interesting. There have started to be, because of the interest in DNA and how much our genes contribute to what is called personality, there has started to be some interest in interviewing people and sorting them by race and therefore by slight DNA variations. Now, race meaning very slight DNA variations. So we know, for instance, that certain populations are more likely to have you know, this disease or that disease, but they're going beyond disease now, and they're looking at other types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some things are found across all humanity and some things in one group or another. There was a study done, and I'm not going to be able to find this and give you the name of it, but there was a study done within the last 2 years about sleep paralysis. Now, sleep paralysis is when you think you're waking up, but you can't move. Part of your brain wakes up, but the other part, the part that allows movement, does not wake up. It can often be considered a terrifying thing. Some people have it so often that it's no longer terrifying. Often you will feel a sensation of weight on your chest, or you'll feel that you're paralyzed. Well, this one study on sleep paralysis from some sleep place decided to look at people rather than, you know, so many percentage of women and so many percentage of men. They started actually looking at what people's DNA groupings were, what their race was, how many Asians have sleep paralysis, and how many Native Americans and so forth. And they found that African Americans had more sleep paralysis by a huge factor than white Americans with no black background in their genetics as far as they knew. And that Native Americans fell somewhere in between. And the when I was a kid, I've had sleep paralysis. I'm 65 years old. I've had it once in my life. And I'm not even sure I had it. But when I was a kid, my black friends would say, haven't you ever had that where you wake up and you can't move and, you know, that things that weights on your chest? I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Right? And it was interesting. I said, well, what did you eat before you went to sleep? No, it seems to be something in the genes, something neurological having to do with some genetic component. So there are a lot of prescriptive remedies against this in hoodoo that you do not find in, for instance, Chinese people, right? Or you might not find it among Italians, right? But it also does occur in England in a more limited number, and where it's called hag riding. And the Romans called it having an incubus or a succubus, the sensation that there's an evil entity sitting on you and stopping you. And so African-American folk magic has developed a tremendous repertoire of ways to deal with sleep paralysis. But now here's the part that's not in the medical text and the part that goes with it. Populations that have a higher degree of sleep paralysis also have a higher degree, in my opinion, of dreaming true. Because many of those dreams are warning dreams. And
when
I was a kid, people would say, well, you ever had one of those dreams where you're warned and then you don't do this, and it turns out if you'd done it, you'd been killed and your car would have flipped over on the freeway? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And I realized that different people have different relationships to dream. And it's not just about culture. It really is about neurophysiology, too. And so to all of those who are listening, who are African-American, I'm going to tell you that you probably are more gifted for dreaming true because there's something in the border between dream and waking that's different or may be different. And it seems to be part of some African genetic component. I say this at the risk of people saying, oh my God, she's talking about race, but it's true. And you may have talked to some of your white friends and they go, I don't know what you're talking about. Unless they're very perceptive and listen and realize what you're talking about, they won't know. Okay? And this is the thing that Anthony Shafton brought out fearlessly and said, there is a difference. And it's not just about culture and superstition and omens and people, you know, people so ignorant. They know. No, honest to God, it's a gift that some people have and some people don't have. So if you're born with it, and of course, he says, I think, like, you know, maybe 11% of white people might be born with it, and 57% of black people. He actually does numbers here. You know, I'm not saying that it's only limited to certain races, but just think about this as something that you may be within or not. Now, in the chat room, they're talking about flying dreams. I have flying dreams all the time. I've known people who never have had flying dreams, never. And they think I'm crazy because I talk about my flying dreams all the time. So again, everyone's different, and these things run in families, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm just going to, and like I said, I'm not going to say one is better than the other, not going to say that one is more spiritually evolved than the other, but I'm just going to say there are cultural bases that come out of a neurophysiological basis, okay? So there you go. And anyway, now, as
that
far
was fascinating.
As, yeah, as far as lucky dreams, I mean, that's a whole nother issue. And these lucky number dreams, I have one other thing to say about that, and then we are going to have to go to our calls. But I told you, if you got me started on this, I could talk about this for an hour or two. No kidding.
It's a good topic.
It is. We may have to do more on this. In fact, maybe we'll just table this, and next time Michael comes on, we'll just talk about good luck dreams. Because lucky dreams and getting numbers out of dreams is a whole art. It's a science, and there are people who are so good at it. And one of the things that a lot of people do is you develop some numbers based around your name or commonplace events. And then and those might be called your major numbers, and then you might have some minor numbers based on dreams, or you might get a major number based on a major number that might be one of your like your life path number from your name, and now your dream worked out on that number. That is good, because then you're going to, yeah. So Conjurman Ali wrote down Dream Panel Part 2, Lucky Dreams. We'll do that later, okay?
I do like that idea. So Ms. Montcal, when you next come on, we have a panel discussion ready and going, a continuation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is seriously important part of Conjure.
Yeah.
It's an important part of hoodoo. You know, people all just want that. I'm going to light a candle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No one talks about the lucky dreams anymore. That's so true.
Well, I it depends on who you're with and whatever. And the whole question of dreaming true, the predictive dream, you know, grandpa came to me and said, you know, I'm going to be seeing grandma soon. Some people just get scared, and other people go, they live with those dreams, and they understand that the dream world is a door to spirit, you know, a door to spirituality. All right. I'm sorry. I probably ran away with this topic. Like I said, I cannot say enough about Anthony Shafton. We're going to get a run on these books now, I know. But trust me, it's worth that book. His stuff is so important. So important to the African American spiritual viewpoint. And all righty. Well, here we are. We've got some callers, and I know Miss Tammy Lee is chomping at the bit, right?
Yes, ma'am. Miss Kat and Conjurman Ellie. And thank you so much, Miss Kat. And a reminder to everyone before we go to our first caller that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ellie, and this week's special guest, Miss Michael, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. And it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. And our first client is calling in from area code 980, calling in from, all right, this is 11 Live, 1976. I believe this is from North Carolina. And 11 Live, are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Super.
Can
North
you hear
Carolina,
me?
Is that correct?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. North Carolina, is that correct? North Carolina?
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right, super. Great. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go ahead and brief her host on your situation. And she writes that she has had a reading with Conjurman Ali regarding this the situation, okay, but on actually
a different
situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's correct. But this is her first time calling into the show, okay? And she writes, I was turned down for a reconsideration of veterans' benefits. I'm currently receiving partial compensation of 30%. I'd like the full 50%. I'm appealing this decision. I've been working a sugar jar with little John to chew and other herbs and burning brown candles with five-finger grass, court case, and payment walls. I've smoked the papers and prayed over them before I mailed them back as well. I was wondering if my work is effective and what else that I could do to work this in my favor and also to make them hurry up. Turning it back over to you.
All right. So it sounds like you've been doing everything right. Now, you're receiving a partial compensation of 30%, and you'd like the full 50%. Let me ask how long this has been going on, because that's the one thing I'm missing here. When did you first put in for the compensation?
I put in for the compensation back in September, and they turned me down at the beginning of the year, and I did an appeal. An appeal has been going on ever since then.
Okay, so this hasn't been all that long yet.
Right.
Good. That's good. You've got this is what I like to call a fresh case. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to just say something real quick about that. Everything you've done here, smoking the papers, praying over them, this is all the right stuff. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I don't even need to throw a card on this. I'm feeling here that they are just holding you back because they do. You know what I'm saying? They're just holding back. I think my sense of it, like I say, you know, we read cards here, but sometimes I just go by what I call an intuitive sense. So I'm going to, I'm going to let Miss Michael maybe throw a card, and she will. But my sense of it is just straight from intuition, just from hearing your voice and what you said. My sense of it is you will win. You're doing it right. The other question is, what else can you do? And we're going to get to that. But and you said to make them hurry up. So let's talk about making them hurry up when we get to the remediation point. That's the most important. But I think everything you're doing is right. You will win, and just keep going on it. Let's see what Ms. Michael says.
Well, you asked for cards, and I turned to the crystal ball before you got to that point. So, yeah. In the crystal ball, the amethyst one, I saw on the left an angel with a sword. Okay? So that suggests St. Michael to me, and if you're comfortable working with the saints, that's the way to go. Or maybe St. Barbara. She has a sword, too. She's associated with lightning. With not taking any crap from people. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of energy you need in your work. As I say, the work, as Ms. Kat said, the work that you're doing sounds classical and powerful.
Okay.
But across from that sword, that armed angel, I saw a big table, kind of like a judge's bench, I suppose, with a witch sitting behind it. She had the pointy hat and everything. But, you know, the moral arc of the universe bends toward justice eventually, like Dr. King said. So who's going to win in a struggle between a little old country witch and St. Michael, right?
Right.
Okay. So you might want to work the hot and harsh side as well as that honey jar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave the details to Conjurman Ali. And I think that covers it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to put in one other thing here too. We were talking about hurrying them up, and I see this is you're going to have success if you hurry them up. It's not going to be quick. Without it, they will drag it on down.
Yes,
so I'm going to just throw in my little plea here for, and I know Ollie's got his own little thing going on, but I'm going to say two words: ginger. And
you took the word right out of my mouth.
Ginger and what?
Ginger and gunpowder.
Yes.
Right.
And I was going to say lightning struck wood.
Lightning struck wood. That was the other one I was going to say. And I didn't go so far as to say lightning struck wood.
Those are
going to win. But let's let Ollie tell you how to use them, okay?
You hoodoo psychic you. she definitely took the words because I was waiting. I was like, gunpowder. And ginger, because those are my two favorite things to really heat things up. Now, I will give you, gunpowder is great, and I love it, but I will give you an alternative because not everyone is comfortable working with gunpowder, though, you know, it's not that hard to get a hold of. But a little trick that I have developed that also will speed things up is, you said you were smoking things. That's excellent. So that means you're working with incense. You take Lucky Mojo's self-lighting incense, and you add just a pinch of saltpeter to that. Saltpeter, when it lights, it adds an extra explosive element to the incense. It's not as intense as gunpowder, which gives off this giant flash, but it'll shoot up lots of lovely sparks, and it actually heats up everything that you're going to use. So, if you can't get your hands on gunpowder, though I highly recommend it, because I do sense that that's the way to go with this. When Miss Michael was looking in your crystal ball, I was scrying over here, and I got that flashing sense. So, definitely go with gunpowder if you can. If you can't, add a little bit of saltpeter. So have incense going next to that honey jar and put some saltpeter in it, light it, and it will spark up. Make sure that there's, you know, you keep papers away and you put it on a heat-proof surface just to be safe. And that does speed things up. And now, this can, for everyone who's listening, you can actually add saltpeter into any type of incense to speed up that work. I've done it for love works to add an element of urgency to it. I've done it to, you know, works for protection to add that heat, and it does work. So saltpeter is one of those Conjurman Ali secrets. Add it to incense. It already has, self-lighting incense already has it. You just add a little bit more, and it does speed things up. Ginger in the honey jar. Open it up, put it in there. Ginger is hot. It'll speed things up. I also use cinnamon for money work to speed it up. It's also warming. So if you combine cinnamon and ginger together and put that in there, it brings money much faster to you. The next thing that I would do is I would actually heat up the honey jar itself. And I've talked about this on the radio show before. I'm going to recommend it again. And you put tea lights, the little tins, around the glass of the honey jar. So you want the tin to actually touch the honey jar's glass. And you dress them with cork case oil, or in this case, I would, you know, definitely put payme oil, which has that compelling element on there. Light those, and what that does is it'll actually warm up the honey. And as you've got the candle going on top, you have the honey being warmed up from below, almost as if you're putting a little bit of heat to their feet. And it will speed up. And this is what I do to speed up honey jars. Honey jars can work very fast sometimes, but oftentimes they tend to have a very natural, you know, overcoming of obstacles. This is honey overcoming obstacles, not, you know, a battering ram. So adding a little bit of heat to it by putting those tea lights around it is a great way to speed things up. Now, some people have gone so far as to put it in a double boiler. I don't think you actually need to do it. You can if you'd like. I prefer to use tea lights in this particular situation, and I think it will work quite well with the combination of the saltpeter or the gunpowder and ginger and cinnamon in the honey jar, okay?
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna toss in a little idea here about ginger, and this is interesting. You're working with the classic Little John to Chew, otherwise known as cork case root.
Right.
That is a member of the ginger family. If you have my green book, you'll read
like
all
it a little bit.
Right, and it tastes like ginger. Sometimes it's called brown ginger. You can buy the cork case root powdered as well. And it's a brown, and it's like ginger. It's used in cooking, same way ginger is a little more bitter, a little more harsh, but it's very similar to ginger. Ginger is usually called Jamaica ginger, sometimes called yellow ginger, white ginger. Little John is sometimes called brown ginger. You can mix them, okay, mix them together. Ginger is very, very hot. Little John to Chew, very, very hot. And mix them. And make a little dusting powder with that. You want to mix them with a little powdered sugar. Okay, so now you've got powdered sugar, ginger powder, Little John to Chew powder, right? And that is a super powerful way to dress papers. I mean, definitely you want to add to it payme powder, because that has a bunch of other things in it. And another one, cork case, of course. Okay, so those are good ways to work. And payme oil added to cork case is always good. But I would definitely work with that. Now, with those powders, you can also add them into incense. Mix them in, stir them in. The self-lighting incenses already have a little saltpeter in them. That's what makes them self-lighting.
Yes.
But you're going to be adding a little bit more saltpeter, and that will cover the extra volume that you add of those powders that you can sprinkle them, just sprinkle them on the incense, okay? So that's a good way to go. And I really like it. Now, in the lightning struck wood, you can shave little pieces off and use that. I'm also seeing, because of what Miss Michael said about the two saints with the swords, Michael and Barbara, and of course, we're talking about a kind of, you know, stabbing with that lightning struck wood. You also can, I use like long, thin pieces. You can actually, you know, stab into that.
Mm-hmm.
Stab into the honey jar, you know what I'm saying? Just take the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also thinking that you might want to do a little bit of what we call bringing up the rear, you see, and you might want to put some little little knives around, just sort of, you know, like to bring up the rear. In other words, go forward, guys, because behind you, there's a sharp, pointy thing at your back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or some people actually use a bee in honey jars, which is quite common if you can find a dead bee. You know, we talk about fire ants. A bee is also added to honey jars to sting a person to speed them along.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's a good one, too. So I think you're on the right road. I think it's going to be just fine. And but it's going to take some time. And I'm also just hearing that, you know, because I don't know what the disability is about. Do you have good doctors on your side to write out good papers for you?
I have a doctor from the VA, the veterans.
All right. Now, is that?
Yeah.
Let me just say that this doctor, do you feel this doctor? Do you know what I mean? Is this doctor on your side of the case?
I think she is. She
okay.
really has some good stuff.
All right. Good. So I want you to do some special praise and blessings and prayers on that doctor, as I praise you, so you help me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Encourage that relationship, because that's the key. That is the key.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's all just shuffling paperwork around and saying no, no, no.
Right.
But once you get that doctor totally on your side, that's the way you're going to win. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So
right.
whatever you can do, sweeten that doctor and you know, but mention the doctor in your prayers is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Just to add really briefly before you go, you know, Miss Kat was talking about Little John to chew. What I want you to do is, in addition to all this work that's heating everything, I want you to also chew Little John to chew or guinea peppers, also known as alligator peppers, while you pray over that candle. So you're heating up your prayers as well. This adds eloquence to your prayers, and it also sends it up in in fire up to God. It's a great way to add heat both to your prayers in addition to the work that you have going on, okay?
Yeah, people often say, hold those guinea grains or grains of paradise in your mouth and chew them up.
Yeah.
And they are sharply, they're not pepper. In fact, what Ollie did not mention, they also are in the ginger family.
Yes.
They are the
seeds. They have more of a cinnamony burn than they have like a peppery burn.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They're called Malagueta pepper or guinea pepper, but they're not pepper. They are
they're neither
black pepper nor are they red pepper.
No.
They are a form of ginger. Pepper just means hot. So you just you're definitely going to the ginger, the Little John to chew, and thank you, Ollie, for the grains of paradise. And grains of paradise are good because they lift you up high like paradise, okay?
Yes, they do.
Ooh.
Yeah, good work. You're doing good. We'll hope to hear how you won.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you, too. All righty. All right, let's take it away, Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and a reminder to everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at rootersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from the state of Mississippi. From T14, this is Sold Out Sisters. Sold Out Sisters, LaShondra, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Great. Hi. Thank you so much, and thank you for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the show, and that also that you have not been to any other readers, root workers, or members of AIR, okay? And she writes with her description, I want to relocate back to Texas. I'm also seeking employment. This is a very short, brief writing and turning it back over to you. She wants to relocate back to Texas. She's seeking employment. Turning it back over to you.
All righty. Well, let's have Ollie start the readings on this one.
Sure. Just a quick question here, Lashandra. You basically gave us a statement, not exactly a question. You said, I want to relocate back to Texas. I'm also seeking employment. Do you want to know your chances of relocation and seeking employment, or are you looking for a consultation? You just want us to tell you how to relocate and get yourself employed?
I went there to interview on January the 18th. I think it was the 18th. And the school that I went to interview for, it was for a career services position. But they informed me they had chosen someone else because it would take more time to train me, and they didn't have the time. So I inquired about the admissions position that the campus president mentioned to me while we were interviewing. And the recruiter of human resources told me that he had contacted them and he's just waiting on, you know, to see what they want to do. So basically I'm trying to see, do you see them bringing me, you know, into the company? If so, is it anytime soon?
So you're looking to see, you basically are waiting on HR.
Right.
And seeing if they're going to bring you into the company. Okay, all right, I can definitely read on that situation, which is a little different from the relocation. I will tell you that the cards that I have pulled, unfortunately, do not look entirely bright for your chances, and you might want to apply some type of root work for it. The very first card that I have here is the Three of Swords. The Three of Swords is not a good card for employment or any matter for that. It's a card of loss and hurt. It shows three swords impaling a heart on a very stormy background. And it is of trying out for something and not succeeding and then feeling devastated, betrayed, and hurt by it. It doesn't show us a good start for this. And this really, you know, sets the tone for the rest of the cards on there. It shows us that, you know, you already went in and they kind of said no. And they're like, well, let's relook at the situation. But right off the bat, it doesn't look good. And the next card really continues on with that message. It's the Hanged Man. The Hanged Man shows us a man hung upside down with his arms tied behind his back. And this is on a towel cross or a T cross. This is a card. This is obstacles. This is, you know, this tells us that the way towards this particular situation is blocked, that there are heavy delays here, and that your chances of kind of opening up your opportunities, because this man's hands are tied behind his back, that your chances of opening up your opportunities are not particularly good. First, you have, you know, heartbreak, then you have an inability to help yourself out of the situation. So these two cards are not particularly good telling us that you have a chance at getting this position. I wish it was otherwise. The final card that we have here is the Nine of Wands. The Nine of Wands shows us a man leaning on a staff, and there are staffs behind him. These can be a wall of enemies that he has broken through, or pursuers that continue to chase him, but he's taking a little rest. He's resting against the staff, and he's got a bandage on his head. This tells us that in the end, it will all work out for your benefit, but you're going to be a little worse for wear. Prepare to be exhausted. There is a strong chance that you might be able to relocate, but with great difficulty. But when it comes to this particular job, it does not look particularly promising that you are going to get it. You might want to apply some type of magical remediation, some type of work in order to assist you in this situation, because all three of these cards are saying heartbreak, difficulty, roads blocked. Yeah, you might be able to move. So it's telling us that the moving aspect, the relocation, is possible with hard work, with overcoming obstacles. The work situation, however, does not look particularly bright. I wish, you know, I had some better cards, but they do tell us that there are some obstacles along the way, okay? And I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues to see what they see.
Yeah, I'm just going to say something here, too. This is one of the interesting things about doing readings on the air, sweetheart. You know, people go to readers and they always hope for the best, and sometimes we don't come up with a good, we don't come up with a yes answer. And when that happens, usually in a longer reading, if you went to us as a member of AIR, we would be able to go into three or four more questions on how you're going to get out of this. We're just here. We got the one question, and the one answer. So don't give up just because those cards did not pan out. But we're going to try to get you some help. But I'm going to read the bones. Okay, so. I've got a skull full of bones, and I'm just going to do a short reading. I'm just going to grab a couple, all right, and I'm throw. All right, so what I've got here, this is interesting. I've got two of my lion bones. I only have two lion bones. Two lion bones have come out. I have a long bone from a lion that is from the long part of its paw, and I have a short lion finger bone. I don't see them both come out at once. It's kind of interesting. And between them is a nutmeg, which stands for money. And up against the nutmeg is one of my little doll baby arms, and it's like pushing the nutmeg out from between. If you could imagine, it's like a saying, go away, money. Get out of here, money. So it's like literally its hand is up against it, pushing it away. And then over by one of the lion bones, just right up against it, is a rattlesnake vertebrae, which stands for courage and strength and possibility. And over by the other lion bone, kind of just barely touching it with the tips of its claws, is an alligator foot, which stands for grasping money. So what we have here is our three little groups of two each, but they've just kind of fallen out. And neither of these groups of two touch each other, but each one kind of almost touches one another. The hand and the nutmeg actually are touching. The others are just close. So what I see here is you need some strength, because this lion paw is like the way that a lion swipes and knocks something down. You've got to go after a job. Have courage. The rattlesnake vertebrae says have courage. But right now, in the middle of this, it's pushing the money away. It's like saying, you may have gone into this, and the alligator hand, which is near the other little near the lion finger bone, is turned away from it. So this is not the best thing, but don't give up. Don't be discouraged. You are going to find what you're going to find. But this is a moment to regroup, find your courage. You do have a tremendous amount of courage and resources within yourself. So I see you as very powerful. I don't see this situation. I just see the way this little doll hand is pushing that nutmeg away. It says, nope, that's not happening. But but use this opportunity to go within yourself and really make up a resolution that you are going to get what you want. And if it's not this job, do not be discouraged. Do not lose the strength of will, okay? Because the strength of will, that little rattlesnake vertebrae by that long bone of that lion says, you got a ways to go yet. You got plenty of power to go, but it may not be this one, okay?
Okay.
All righty. But if moving to Texas is what the question is about more than that job, this says to me, you know what you want, and you're going to get what you want. Nobody's going to stop you, but you're just going to have to not keep your heart set on this one little thing. If it does work out, it's going to take a big push by you. We're talking the courage of a lion here. May I ask, just as a question, what sign of the zodiac are you?
Cancer.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's why I'm getting all this stuff about you need courage. Cancers, and I say this with all love, cancers are very tender people, and they sometimes don't grasp and get what they should because they do get discouraged. Now, these people said, it costs us too much to retrain you. Well, forget that. Just keep on going at it. Don't let anyone make you take a backseat. Just keep on going, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Now, let's see what Ms. McHale has to say as far as doing something here.
Well, when Ali and Kat were reading, I snuck a peek into my white calcite crystal ball, and I saw a little bird of prey, a small hawk, although it was kind of stubby looking like an owl, and it was carrying a fish. like it had just swooped down toward the water and grabbed that fish. And I was hoping the fish wasn't you, but judging by Miss Cat's reading, it certainly isn't. The owl is you.
Mm-hmm.
You are fully capable of diving down toward the water and grabbing what you want right out of it. So I would say that you need to build a lodestone altar, and you need to put all kinds of hot things on it. You need to, you know, some of those things that that came up in Miss Cat's bone reading would be great on a lodestone altar. The gator hand especially. Maybe you could use a couple lion bones, because lions have claws and teeth, and that's the kind of spirit you need to get the prosperity you deserve as a human being. Hot herbs also, cinnamon and ginger, grains of paradise too. It seems to be, you know, that seems to be the theme for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Also, crown of success and King Solomon wisdom to keep your mind sharp. And pay me. You could, you feed your lodestone with magnetic sand and occasionally a little drop of whiskey, and you might also supplement with those oils mentioned. And I think that should do it. Regular bathing,
so
too.
Well, let's ask her for a minute. Do you have an altar where you're doing this work, or are you just doing it on a tabletop, or how do you have a setup to do this work that you're doing?
I haven't done any work or anything.
You haven't done any work. All right. So here we are. Now, remember the conversation we had with the veteran who was going to go after those veterans' benefits, and we said, that's good work. So what we're trying to do is get you to set up some work on this thing. I want you to start with, is this, I don't know if it's this company. This company, I'm getting a hinky feeling.
Yeah.
But we're all just not feeling this particular company. But there are other companies in that same field, right? I want you to get the logos. Go online and print out the logos of every company that you could hire you, right? You want to reload to Texas? If those companies are in Texas, get a printout of the state of Texas, a map, you know what I mean? Like just a picture of Texas, right? Put those logos on there, right? And if you want to, just glue them down, you know, just glue them onto Texas. Here they are. This one's in Houston. This one's in Dallas. This one's in San Antonio, wherever it is. And then I want you to use that as a kind of a surface on which you're going to do your work, okay? And I want you to be burning candles. And at least burning candles, but preferably doing some other work too. I want you to start to literally draw on this map. Draw what you want. You know, where are you located now, sweetheart?
Mississippi.
All right. Draw an arrow from the direction of Mississippi to where you want to go in Texas, right? And just say, I'm going there. It's happening. I'm going there. Make a honey jar on those companies, or sugar. Sugar is just as easy. And put the logos of the companies in the sugar and say, Company X will hire me, favor me above all others. You will get my application, and you will say yes to me. And then Company B, they were going to hire me. And Company Z, they're going to hire me. And Company 13, they're going to hire me. Whatever these companies are, right? And you put them all in there in the sugar or in the honey, and you're going to just light a candle and make it be for steady work oil. Dress that candle with steady work oil and just say, hire me. Now, you can mix into the sugar when you put those logos in. Put a little bit of cinnamon in. Now, every once in a while, you can dip into that jar. After you burn the candles, I'm just unscrew the lid and just make yourself some cinnamon toast and just say, as this cinnamon sugar, this is sweet to me, it's going to bring me money, they're going to give me a job. You need some confidence. You need something. You need to be doing some work. You know what I'm saying? And don't just sit back and say, well, I'm just praying, but speak to God and say, you know, Lord, my path needs to open. You might want to use some road opener oil on the candles as well, because you're talking about traveling, right? And my road must open, and I must go. Because I saw those two lion bones, and I'm thinking of cancer, lion bones. You may need a root worker to help you. You may need someone to work with you. If you work with a root worker, it ain't going to be me or Michael or Ollie, and I'll tell you why. You need a root worker in Texas to toll you in, right?
And
you
know
what?
Whenever that lion bone comes up, and this is just me, I associate that with Mama Star.
Mama
personally.
Star!
Oh,
you know,
yes.
because she's a Leo. She's a Leo. She's a Leo, and she's a fiery woman, and that's what you need.
And she's in frickin' Texas, okay? Yeah. Mama Star. You call on Mama Star, and you say, Mama Star, bring me home to Texas. She'll do it.
Yes.
Okay? That's it. Because I think you need some strength here. And tell Mama Star what we said. Tell her she can listen to the radio show. Tell her, Miss Cat got lion bones. Two of them, right? and you want to go to Texas. And all three of us agreed, Mama Star is going to tow you home to Texas. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And get you the work you need. All right.
Yeah.
And give you that backbone, too. Mama Star is like, she strikes like a rattlesnake. She warns you first. And I love
that's
her.
Really
for
real.
Yeah,
okay.
For real. All right, sweetheart. Good. So this is the way to go, and we hope all the best for you.
Yes.
All righty. Good luck to you, sweetheart. All right. Thanks for calling, and we're gonna give it back over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Katz. And everyone, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast and iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. Be selected to be on the air. Sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and dial 818-394-8535. During the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com, and this week's special guest, Miss Michael of Hoodoo'sFoundry.com in Willits, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from area code 704. This is Divine Daughter. Divine Daughter, are you there, caller?
Uh-oh. We think we may be missing someone.
Okay, all right.
Divine
Daughter, are you there, caller? Okay.
All right, going once, going twice. One more try, Divine Daughter. All right, the universe has spoken. Move on.
Yes, ma'am. yes, ma'am. And Nagashiva, how about 229 from Georgia?
I'm sorry that caller isn't on in our queue, but we have Michigan Girl, I think, on 313.
Michigan Girl on 313. Michigan Girl on 313. Here we go. Michigan Girl, 75, 313. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Great. Well, welcome back to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let the host know that you have been on the show before, and welcome back, and that you have had a reading on in the early December show, and you do have updates about these issues. And she writes, she has had Lucky Mojo do candle services for her, and she also writes, I finally had contact with the guy that I was having dreams about. I text him with Happy New Year, and he responded that I was able to see him on New Year's Day. It was nice seeing him. He did state that he was thinking about me and wondering what I was doing. I was wondering what the year will be like for us. Turning it back over to you.
All right. So I believe we're going to start with Miss Michael.
Okay. And I think I will pull some cards for the first time this evening. All right. And after the third shuffle, Michigan Girl, I'm going to ask you to tell me when to stop thumbing through the deck.
Right.
Okay, now just a minute. I haven't started thumbing through. Okay, starting now, tell me when to stop.
Okay, you can start.
Okay. All right. So what have we here? Ooh. Oh, we have the Five of Clubs, which shows a bunch of people just kind of flailing away at each other. So there may be some misunderstandings at first. And the Wheel of Fortune is upside down. There's going to be some stagnation here. Oh, my goodness, I have rarely seen such an unpleasant set of cards. The Seven of Swords.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this may be kind of bewildering for you, especially since you've been trying to get this guy to contact you for a while. That's just really kind of strange. So I'm going to pull a Bible verse now and see if we can't get some explanation. And I'm going to go to the words of Jesus because that's usually more friendly. Okay. What have we got here? Oh my. Luke 12:3. What you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. You are going to find out some secrets, and that they will not make you happy. That's a shame.
Mm-mm. Hmm. Now, I'm gonna ask a question here. Because Ms. McHale, he said he was thinking about her and wondering what she was doing. She's wondering what the year would be like. And what you're saying is there's some secret of his that's going to come out during this year. Is that where we're going with this thing?
Yeah, that's where we're going with it. You know, that's what the cards in the Bible show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. Now, when you saw him, sweetheart, did it seem to go pretty well?
Oh,
we can't hear you. Hold on.
I thought that was just me. Yeah, can you speak up louder a little bit? I can barely hear you.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Not too well. Try that. Just try one more time. Just say it really loud.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Much
better.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. We hadn't had any contact for about 2 months, and I just took the liberty just to be nice, to be the bigger person or whatever. And I really wasn't had any expectation of him to respond, but I just said, you know what, Happy New Year, wish your goals or expectation be fulfilled in 2013. I had no clue. I didn't really want to expect for him to respond.
Mm-hmm.
That was just something that I wanted to get it out in the air and move on.
Mm-hmm.
He responded. We talked. We texted kind of back and forth, and so he asked me to come over. So I was like, you know what? Okay. When went to go see him, he very responsive. I mean, a good gesture, hug him, gave him a kiss, whatever. I stayed over here a good couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's like, you know, yeah, I was thinking about you. I didn't ask him. He was like, I've been thinking about you. I've been wondering what you've been doing and stuff like that. And that was it.
So, but let me ask one more question here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to then go to Ali. But have you heard from him since then?
Mm-hmm. I texted him Thursday. Okay. Texted him Thursday, good morning. He responded back, good morning. And then later on the day, I texted him again. Was like, you know, how your day going? And he was like, cool. And after that, you know, that's for that. I haven't, you know, texted because I've been sick.
All right. Let's see what Ali has to say, because what Michael said, and I want you to understand this, she felt that there was some sort of a warning here and that there's something that's in his life that you don't know about yet that you will find out during this next year, because the question was about the whole year. So let's see what Ali has to say.
Sure. Just to clarify, is this a former lover that you're trying to draw back to you, or is this someone you've never been involved with?
This was somebody I was kind of involved with.
Okay. And have you ever had, you know, not to be crude, have you ever slept with this man?
Yeah, I mean, we were like companions, you know.
Okay.
Back in
two
and a half years.
Okay. Well, my reading is a little bit different from with what Ms. Michael got, and that happens, you know, different readers will pick up on different things. I'll elaborate on is the relationship itself and your chances of really drawing this man back. What I've done is cast the geomantic chart. okay? Mm-hmm. And I've been analyzing this chart for you, and the chances of it are not bad, but it's very temporary. In the first house that we have, which is really kind of sets the tone, we have Caput Draconis, which is the head of the dragon, and this tells us this is a good beginning, but the new year for you, this idea of texting him, great job, that was initiative. You opened up the door's now been opened, it will remain open, and that this new year will be relatively positive in terms of the relationship between you and this man. But to really narrow, to really see if your chances, like what those chances are, we look to the seventh house, the house of relationships. And here we have Fortuna Minor, which is a small fortune, or small luck, if you will. And this shows us two mountains with the river flowing out, or a staff on top of a mountain. And this is indicating that, yes, you will have some success with him, but the success will ultimately be temporary, that it will not be long-lasting. More than likely, you will have with him, you will have some contact with him, you will meet him again, probably have a physical relationship with him, which you guys see in the fifth house. There's a strong sign of sex there. But that in the end, the chances of you two getting back together as companions and as lovers is very, very slight. That things, there are circumstances, and this is probably what Ms. Michael was picking up, there are circumstances around this particular situation that indicate to me that there is more going on here than meets the eye. In this particular situation, we have success, but temporary success. Now, one of the beauties of geomancy is that it reveals hidden factors. Okay, so what is that hidden factor that Ms. Michael sees? Well, in this particular situation, I have Rubius in the fifth house, which indicates that he has or will be having another lover very shortly. It's not going to be someone who is he's going to talk about with you. It's going to be a sexual relationship, and it's going to be a very addicting sexual relationship, okay? Something that's going to draw him and compel him. It's going to be another woman. This individual is most likely going to be the Scorpio in the zodiac. It is going to be, we'll say, a little journey into his dark sexuality, if you will. And that's what's going to come up and is going to be a very strong obstacle between you and him getting back together, is that he will be drawn to this other temporary relationship, but that this relationship, you know, is going to take his mind away from you, and he won't be thinking about you. And whenever that Five of Wands, if I remember correctly, Ms. Michael, you pulled the Five of Wands, is that correct?
Yeah, the Five of Wands and the Seven of Swords.
Yeah, the Five of Wands for me is always competition, someone else fighting for his attention. So that goes really well with this Rubius in the fifth house. And that's what the geomancy is revealing to me. The final thing that I get here is I'm looking for a relationship between the first and the seventh house, and there is none. And that's what really tells us that this path is a bit out of your control. You can do work, you can contact him, and you'll draw him in temporarily, but this situation may not, at this point in time, be one where you can control enough to make him your lover, okay?
Okay. I'm gonna put in some ideas here, too, because I know you were dreaming of him. And then this has all started to, you know, percolate, and it was nice seeing him, and you felt that there was some spark was maybe to be rekindled. But both of these readings, Miss Michael's maybe more on the warning side, and Conjure Manali's talking about the temporary nature of it, I want you to do some work around this. I know you're going to get involved with him no matter what we say, and I would too. What, you know, because I would too, you know, why not? I mean, you know, you've been dreaming of him, let's see what happens. But be prepared.
Well,
so what I like,
it wasn't like I was, you know, purposely dreaming. It just, you know, how you
know,
can just like dream about your grandmother who passed away. Those kind of dreams. Like,
I know.
I mean,
there's something going on here, and he may need to be around you for some help for some purpose you don't yet know. All right? It may not have to do with the love affair. It may just be something going on. We don't know. Sometimes God has big plans, and we only see a little fragment of what's happening in our neighborhood. I would like you to do this. I would like you to take and burn a candle or use the oil on any candle. You can just buy the oil and dress many candles with clarity oil. I want you to – it has an oil. It has a picture of an eye on it. I want you to see clearly what is going on here. I don't think he's trying to hide something, but I think something's coming up in next year. I do think you can have a relationship with him, and maybe he can pull this thing together, but there's some deficit. We could just say something less than perfect here. But we all see it. I was feeling it. I did not pull cards or read bones, but I could feel it too. Go for it. See what you can do. Be a friend and see what you can do, but always use a little bit of clarity oil. If you give him a gift or something and you can, give him something, put a little bit of clarity powder on or clarity oil. You want to be in this thing with your eyes open. Now, that dream connection you have with him is very important, all right? So one of the things we do when we dream about people, we use a skull candle to try to get inside their head. You know,
mm-hmm.
So you might want to
I love skull candles.
Yeah, I know. Ollie is Mr. Skull Candle, I tell you. You want to take a white skull candle and hollow it out, not completely hollow, just make a little, carve a little hole in, a little divot, I call it, and put in something, his name, or maybe if you can get his hair or something of him in it, melt the wax back over it and seal it up. All right, and that's called loading the candle. You can also load it with some clarity oil. Now, you're going to hold that skull just like old Hamlet held that skull of York, and just hold that skull and talk to it. And you're going to say, so-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, I have your head in my hand, and I want you to mouth to speak the truth to me. And you touch his mouth and speak the truth to me and put some clarity oil around his little mouth. Right? I want you to look upon me with clear eyes. Put some around his eyes. I want you to hear what I say, and I want to hear what you say. Put some around his ears. And then just dress and hold that candle and just talk to him and say, all communication with us is going to be open, and if there's anything hidden, you will speak. And that's what you will speak. If there's something hidden, it will come out. Okay? And then you can burn that skull candle. Burn it when you think he's asleep and say to him, now when we next meet or when we next talk or when we next text, whatever happens, you will begin to tell me that secret thing that's on your mind. Now, don't get all obsesso and stalk him on Facebook or nothing, but there's something...
No, never.
Good. No, but there's something there that he needs to bring out, okay? Clarity is a good way to bring it out, and you're bringing it out with the most pure of motives. We're not using essence of bend over, you must do what I say. You know, nothing like that, I dominate my man, nothing I can, you can't, nothing like that. We're just saying clarity. Let's have a little clarity on this, a little light, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way to go. I do think that that you want to be cautious. Don't throw your heart 100% into this thing, but just keep your clarity. You know why you broke up, and we didn't ask, but there was a reason you broke up, and you want to make sure that whatever that reason was is not going to be an issue again. All right?
Well, that's why I said when I text him, I wanted to be the bigger person, and that was my way. I kind of guessed a little closure, whatever you want to call it, and that's why I never really had no expectation to move on. I could have just said no, not to see him, but, I did anyway. And if I don't see him again, it's really no big deal,
All right.
I mean,
all
that's just where I'm at right now.
I'm saying is that there are things about him that are still not revealed. And if you do want to pursue it farther, you're going to need to get clarity. If you just want to shake hand in hand and say goodbye, then this was a good ending. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All righty. All right, hon. Thank you so much for calling. And we appreciate the fact that you relied on us for that. Okay?
Thank you.
All righty. Now, we're going to go to our free spell. And this is where our guest, Miss Michael, this week, is going to tell us a favorite spell of hers. And,
okay.
And we're going to have Miss Tammy Lee give us a little break, and we'll come back right back to our free spell.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and everyone, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Be selected to be on the air. Sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum, forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for our free spell segment for this week. Thank you so much, Ms. Michael. Turning it back over to you.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Okay, now this is a favorite spell that I'm still in love with. I call it Fall in Love with Learning. Okay, I blogged about it last year. This is for somebody whose grades are suffering in school, whether it's someone in elementary school or in college, but somebody who has just given up on learning, and you know, they may be somebody who has normal intelligence and has some ability, and they're just not applying themselves, and you don't know why. Okay. The obvious thing to use is King Solomon Wisdom. That's one of the oldest uses for this formula, which is one of my favorites. But I'd also like you to make a tea of Samson Snake Root, which brings respect, Master Root for mastery, and of course King Solomon Wisdom bath salts get stirred into there, and some peace water. And if your child will take
now,
a spiritual
repeat
bath.
Rip, whoa, stop.
Yes,
repeat
okay,
them.
Right.
Samson
Snake Root. Snake
Root. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Master Root.
Master Root, okay.
Uh-huh. Boil that into tea.
Mm-hmm.
King Solomon Wisdom bath salts.
Mm-hmm.
Stir in some peace water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If he'll take a spiritual bath, just let him do that. If not, spike the laundry supplies and the grooming supplies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And dress the outside of his shoes so he's going to track it into school.
Aha, uh-huh. Love it.
So learning will be easier. He'll get more respect. And he'll be calmer. And everybody else around him will be, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a second part to this. You dress his school books with the powders, Master Root, King Solomon Wisdom, Samson Snake Root.
Love those roots.
And Love Me, or Bewitching, because you want to treat his school books like girls who want his attention. Yes, and use those oils on his computer, on his pens, on his pencils, on anything he might pick up to help him study.
Wow.
Okay? Because, you know, a lot of times when people don't apply themselves at school, it's because school doesn't fit them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you kind of got to bend the atmosphere of school in their direction because they got their own agenda. And I could go on about this for an hour because I homeschooled my own kids for reasons very much like this. There's more in my blog, including some philosophy on it, hoodoofoundry.com. Click on blog at the top. It's in the September 2012 section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
That is
a wonderful one. I'm going to tell you something, too, Miss Michael. If you can put a link to that or just put a redacted version of it at the Lucky Mojo Forum, there is a very long thread in the forum on how to make kids succeed in school. It's a concern that so many mothers have and some fathers, too.
Okay.
And there are so many distractions from school. And I love the way you've added the Love Me in there to make them love learning. That's beautiful. Beautiful.
I am pasting the full blog link into the chat room right now.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. And like I said, we're going to put up a shortened version of it up at the forum. That's a beautiful spell, and it's going to help them in school, but it's also going to help them love school. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's our music. So let's let Miss Tammy Lee close us out.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Concha Ben Ali, and thank you so much, Miss Michael. What a great spell for the children. Thank you so much, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our special guest this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Rooters and Rootworkers will be Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Long Beach, California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Concha Ben Ali at conchamanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive by luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. for all of us at Lucky Mojo. I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when we will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jung Band playing the Memphis Jung Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you so much, Miss Michael. And remember, we have a date for part two, Lucky Dream.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We're going to schedule that. You call Conjurman Ali, and we'll schedule that as absolutely as soon as possible. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
All righty. And a big shout out to everyone in the chat room and to Candle Magic. See you tomorrow, baby. I won't be down in the shop, but you got to come tell them you're here, and I'll come down and say hello. All right. And thank you again, Ollie, for holding down the fort while I was gone. You were fantastic, and I always love being here with you, and I'm so glad to be back.
Oh, I'm glad you're back, too.
All right. Everybody in the chat room, we'll stick around for a while.
Yes.
Good night.
Talk about
good night.
Night-night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.